B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Gloved by Binnington. He puts it down and the horn sounds. The Boston Bruins roar in front of the St. Louis Blues with four goals in the third period. Rask was terrific. The penalty killers magnificent. And the Boston Bruins have forced a Game 7 on Wednesday that'll take place at TD Garden to decide the Stanley Cup.
All right, there you go. Game 7, Wednesday night. Bruins get a win.
I'm glad we're not doing a wrap-up show today.
Yeah, I didn't want to do a wrap-up show today.
I didn't feel great about it all weekend. I don't know. And, you know, with guys being out and seemed like injuries were I don't want to say getting insurmountable, but it just seemed,
look at that.
You know, they had their guys. What is that, Fred's keyboard?
Wait, no. This is weekend. This is not Fred or Rick. I mean, this is weekend.
We're lucky at the trash.
This is weekend. Look at my stuff that came out there. You see it? Look at hairs, nails. Oh.
There we go. Clean.
Debris.
Dodge debris.
You want those cans of air with the little straw.
Yes.
Well, no, you don't.
Maz has one of those in one of his six or seven different lockers that he
has. What do you do with that? Then it just blows it everywhere.
Well, you blow it off onto the floor, and then it gets vacuumed up later on.
Gross.
Yeah, right. That was there last week.
Yeah, that's true.
All right. Game 7. That's what we do. Tell you what. Did a lot of things yesterday with the kids. You know, sporting events. He's talking to parents. Good. How do you feel about tonight? I said, I have no clue. Like, oh, we don't feel good. Don't feel good about this at all. A lot of negativity yesterday. Just thinking it was going to be over. And team came out, was ready to go. And, boy, you just can't carry anything from one game to the next. That's one thing. And it doesn't matter. It's at home.
Why do you say they were ready to go?
I mean, I understand what you're saying. Because I think, you know, Tuukka basically stole you a good two periods there. I thought the Bruins skated better as the game went on. But at the beginning, seemed like you were chasing a little bit. But I think the energy in their building helped them.
Here's what I'm getting at. Let me just get right to it. Do you think the final score reflects what that game was?
I think it reflects the differential in the goalies. I think it does. I sat here Friday and I said, there's no freaking way. We come in here Monday and that Jordan Binnington is going to be a Stanley Cup champion. That's your Stanley Cup champion goalie.
There you go.
What a stance.
No, I mean, I get it.
The end of the game indicates which goalie's better. That's what it does to me. I understand what you're saying. It was a tight slugfest. It was a slugfest. That was a tough game. It was a grueling game, back and forth, up and down. Tuukka played his ass off. The only goal he let in, really, I don't think was a goal. I mean, I know it was a goal, but he stopped that, too. Just as long as it's 3 inches difference there. I know that's technically a goal.
Wait, no. He doesn't get credit for stops for goals that were not goals.
Not one goal went in that net. So, he was good.
I think that was a grueling game, though.
Grueling game, yeah.
Think the Blues played the same as they have all series?
Okay, so physically, in terms
kind
of the hits,
just...
no. But I think their forecheck was smothering the Bruins. I still think the Bruins have all kinds of issues moving the puck. And had all kinds of issues moving the puck last night in that game.
They were better penetrating last night.
Most of the
though.
Night, still had issues.
I'll tell you what, if they could have got guys in around the net, around Binnington early, he was giving up rebound after rebound after rebound. Like, you never got second chance looks. The goals they got were the goals they got. That game could have been 8-1 if you get guys around the net on just deflections. And at times, I think you saw the puck.
Last night and say it was anyone's game going into the third period, and the one goal that the Bruins had was on a 5-on-3. So let's not get caught up in the 5-1 final score. That was a grueling game, so you're right about that.
What the hell's that?
Oh, that's new.
It's on our simulcast.
We have an opening drive now.
It's an opening drive.
Yeah, I've never seen that before. That's new.
Did we sell that or did they sell that?
We didn't sell that.
Yeah, all right.
No. I'm sure we'll all see a cut of it.
Though. How do you know I want to do that?
Huh?
They don't know that. How do they know we want to do that?
I don't know.
Jim, we got an opening drive. We got a sounder for it.
Vroom, vroom.
We definitely don't have an opening drive.
You can't just be throwing stuff up like that.
Some days we do have an opening, a fully scheduled out rundown segment by segment. Today, it's just, no, we're going to talk Bruins. We're going to talk Ortiz.
Yeah. Can we get like a hot rod sound effect for that? Can't
oh, no. You know what I want?
These graphics,
you know what?
Like this.
I want a whistle, like a ref whistle, and somebody go, opening drive.
Yeah, but it's brought to you by like a car dealership. So.
But then skid marks or something.
You know, it's getting like dual meeting, opening drive of like a football game and opening drive because like you're driving a car.
That was new. Noticed
get
that
it?
Right away.
You know, is the opening drive sponsored on Patriots games?
Probably will be this year.
It should be sold right there.
It
boom. Opening drive brought to you by. Yeah.
Less time for me to
whoever.
Talk. Great.
Less time for me to
you know
talk.
What?
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
Sounds like supercharged.
So I'm with you. So that was a grueling game. That was a hard game last night.
Jim, I like that, Jim.
That's a good one.
Jim said something in our Twitter little chain that we had back and forth during the game there.
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, it's not really any big place. I'm like, Jesus, this game's been great. Like, from a slugfest type. And Jim's like, not a lot of big things happen in this game.
Okay, I think the Bruins defensively last night, though, were terrific. And I think that Charlie McAvoy played his best game of the series.
Oh,
easily.
My God, that passed on
easily. Well, I mean, that's a pass up the ice that Heinen.
Man, freaking
he sucked this series. He's been terrible.
What has he done?
That's a different story.
Yeah, we'll get that.
But Charlie McAvoy played his best game of the series, I think, easily, because he hasn't had a very good series.
What if Char's not in? How much is McAvoy's play affected by Char continuing to go? You know what I mean? If they have to shake things up and Char was ruled completely out, I think Char played pretty good yesterday, too.
He was okay.
Well, I mean, for skating around with a broken jaw. Like, he was effective.
Yeah, all things considered.
Yeah, all things considered, I think Char was effective, and he was more physical in front of the net.
He wasn't physical Thursday. Some of McAvoy after the game, because his post game was one for the ages last night. Here's just part of it.
Go.
Just the thought of it being over tonight was terrifying. Like, you know, I mean, we come all this way, and we come together when it matters, and I think tonight was just a good example of that. And, you know, we're thankful. You know, I mean, we're blessed with a chance to play in game 7 now, so it's going to be the same thing. I mean, it's a lot. It's a roller coaster, and you just got to ride it.
Good for him. Magnitude of it.
Just the idea of not having another game.
Francesa's boy, right?
Yeah. Yeah, from Long Island. Yeah. McAvoy's, the plumbers from Long Island.
It's one of the kids.
Comes from a long line of plumbers.
I know him very well.
Didn't play like a plumber last night. Nope.
Nope.
He also talked about a pregame speech. We'll get to more on that later on. The Patrice Bergeron apparently delivered to the team and made everyone want to run through a wall.
He didn't say pregame, though. He just said, they asked him when he gave the speech, and he said, when we needed it.
Oh. Could have been intermission.
Could have been between the second and third period.
Could have been when Pam was on set.
Could have been at any point in that night. But he gave a speech. Patrice Bergeron delivered a speech to the Bruins at some point last night, and it helped.
The fact that's not Tuca, that's not Char, that's not Bergeron or Marchand saying that, the fact that's one of your core young guys for the future, realizing what the moment is and telling you, yeah, I was bugged by the fact that the finality of it didn't want it to end. That's good. It's good stuff.
So I think he had a good night. I think if we could get our young guys clip, the young guys, Brandon Carlo had a really good night. I thought that...
I thought Krejci, from a physical standpoint, mixing it up was pretty good. I know offensively it's not clicking for him, but I thought he was out there moving guys around, which was good for him.
I thought the Bruins' attempts at blocking shots right out of the gate was a concerted effort. Jake DeBrusk was all over the place trying to block shots.
Breaking sticks.
I thought that was something that helped defensively.
Yes, young guys!
Yes, thank you, the young guys. I just thought that defensively the Bruins were great last night. I thought that was a major part of their effort to win this game. But it was not easy. And that score, that 5-1 final score, does not reflect the night that it was for the Bruins. That was a hard-fought win.
That's a 3-2 win type.
That was a hard-fought win for the Bruins last night.
Yeah.
Nothing about it came easy. They finally broke it open late, but it was late. That's all. It's tight. Mm. Tight game. On the edge of your seat most of the night. 617-779-0985. We got a lot to get to from that game. And obviously there was another story that developed somewhere around the second intermission last night as we started to get word of David Ortiz being shot in the Dominican. We'll give you the latest on that as reports continue to flood in today. The reporting on this has been obviously sort of all over the place. Information coming in from different sources that we're not used to getting information from, non-sports reporters in the Dominican. Now you've got some ESPN reporters that are reporting on it, that are getting on scene at this hour. So we'll give you the latest on that.
It's nice when something bad happens, you know, people around it could sort of take some things into their own hands and police the situation.
This is more serious than I think it was originally reported as, for sure. So we'll tell you the latest. We'll tell you the latest on that coming up next. And again, Bruins going to a game seven. Game seven in Boston on Wednesday night. We're talking about that all day long as well.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It's time to celebrate.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Six 617-779-0985 started to trickle out on social media sometime around the second intermission last night that David Ortiz had been shot in his native Dominican Republic where he was last night. And turns out that was true. David Ortiz was, in fact, shot last night out at what appears to be a nightclub, restaurant type of place.
It's like an outdoor cafe next to a street.
Yeah, he was outside. There's a surveillance video that has started to circulate. You may have seen it. I've watched it. I've seen the video. It was initially reported that it was an attempted robbery and that David Ortiz was shot in the leg. That is incorrect. It is not. It is most definitely not an attempted robbery. It is an attempt to end his life.
It's a botched hit. That's what it is.
It's an attempted murder is what it is of David Ortiz. And it is definitely not a robbery attempt. David Ortiz is seated near a sidewalk. The individual who shoots him comes up behind him, close range, point blank range, fires the gun once, turns and runs away. Turns and runs. I would say luckily for that individual, police have arrested him. It's probably a good thing that police did arrest him, because I'm pretty sure, based on other videos that have surfaced of that individual, the people in the streets of the Dominican Republic were going to kill him before the police were able to arrest him. So that's a positive for him. That he was kept alive by being arrested. David Ortiz was not shot in the leg. He was shot in the back. And the bullet traveled through his abdomen. The latest reporting on the matter is this. And it's the reporting, I will say, is getting better as the hours go on. Because obviously there's been more time that has passed. And, you know, as time passes and things settle down. And people close to Ortiz, whether it be his publicist in the DR or family members, have been able to find time to speak to those in the media. The reporting has sort of, you know, the picture is becoming clearer, although I still feel like this is a far more serious situation than people are sort of letting on in this reporting, if that makes sense.
No, it does. You hear stuff about internal bleeding, and anytime you have internal bleeding, it's sure you fixed it.
So Enrique Rojas of ESPN is on his way to the Dominican this morning. He will be on scene reporting from there for ESPN. He reported this morning that David Ortiz had to have his gallbladder removed, along with parts of his colon and his intestines. His liver was also damaged. He obviously suffered all kinds of internal bleeding with all of this and had to have surgery. He was in surgery for 6 hours overnight. I've seen pictures of where he is, the medical facility that he's in there. I mean, you can imagine, Zoe, this is not your typical hospital in Boston.
No.
Okay? This is the, you know... if I could call it something, it'd be like the equivalent of going to the urgent care clinic.
It's called like a clinic. Here. I think it's called a clinic.
You know?
Yeah.
And so it's just different. The level of care is not the same there as you would get here. An assistant, a publicist assistant to David Ortiz, told Marley Rivera of ESPN that doctors had to continue working on him late into the night. Ortiz currently in intensive care, but they keep using the word stable. They keep saying that he's stable, which is good. But if you've gone through 6 hours of surgery and you've had liver damage and, you know, colon and intestines and, you know, the gallbladder, which I think is probably less serious, but still all this stuff has been damaged and has been repaired. And you're talking about internal bleeding and you're talking about 6 hours or more worth of surgery. And what level of facility trauma right. center are we talking about here? I'm sorry, but I'm still terrified for David Ortiz right now for what goes from here on out.
Is stable there equivalent to critical condition here?
Or worse.
You go in ICU, right. Like, it's amazing you're going to have this much stuff done, be under the knife until, what, 3:30 in the morning, and just, okay, we got him. He's stable. Like, okay, you remove parts of internal parts. You know, you have internal bleeding. For anybody that's ever had been around people with internal bleeding or had to go through those type of surgeries, you've got to watch that closely. And I know the Red Sox have reached out to get a plane down there to get him back, to get him some help, to get him better care here. But
well,
I have
no idea what the level of care is like in the Dominican Republic. I can only say that I don't know of a place that's better than Boston. So I don't blame them for, you know, wanting to, you know, get, you know, what they feel to be is the best absolute care, you know, available. But it doesn't matter if it was here or there. You know, after you get shot like that and you have parts of organs removed and you're heavily sedated in intensive care, you know, give it a name, stable, critical, whatever. You know, this is a very serious situation. The fact that it was, you know, done at a place that we wouldn't necessarily consider to be the best place to have that surgery done.
You have no choice.
There have been reports from people. That Joe Murray was on earlier saying that his mother had a medical condition in the Dominican Republic last year and raved about the level of care that she received. So, you know, I don't have any knowledge beyond hearsay and just anecdotal evidence as to, you know, what may or may not be different in a medical setting like that. You just know that either way, it's serious. This is very, very serious situation. As much as we want to feel like, he's going to be fine. He's going to be, you know, full recovery out of the woods. That's a really, really serious condition when you have parts of, like you said, parts taken out of you.
People are like, oh, it's just a shot in the leg. Okay, we could go back to watching a hockey game. Yeah, Sean Taylor, safety from Miami, went to the Redskins, number one pick. Got shot in the leg. He died a couple hours after that because it hit his big artery. Just because you get shot in the leg doesn't mean it's not serious. Well, he didn't get shot in the leg. He got shot in the back. I mean, guy walks right up, pow, pow, from point blank range. A bad hitman, huh?
I mean,
who knows the story?
Exactly.
We'll find out.
Who knows?
We will find out.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know that you will. Maybe you find out. Maybe you don't. But the part now is, okay, there's so many things that could still happen here, you know, medically speaking, that, you know, this is obviously still very, very serious is what I would say.
Yeah.
About all this. So, that report is out there that the Red Sox have offered some sort of medical plane to get him wherever it is that they would, you know, feel that he could get better care. I also think so. I don't think it's out of the question that they would send medical people to him.
That was my point. I'd send, yeah, privately, quietly. Let's get our doctors down there. Right. Now, how do you accept that? You know, and what's the clearance there? Are they able to practice? Are you legally able to practice? You know, there's a lot of things in play with that, with the medical. But if he is somewhat stabilized and, okay, he's awake and he's conscious and he's looking better, I'd get him on a plane as quick as you can to get him up here to get him to have him be watched more closely here. Boston. Hard to find better medical facilities here, as Hardy said.
Yeah, but I have no reason to doubt that, you know, they didn't know what they were doing. They had a team of three doctors right. down there, and I, the fact is it's serious no matter where it happens. You get shot in the back at point-blank range in Wrentham. You're in bad shape here today in Boston, right. just like yeah. I would assume that, you know, and hopefully he's stable. You're in bad shape anywhere. Well, this mean streets of Wrentham.
We have one of those outdoor cafes here. I don't want that to happen.
Zoe's now thinking about where he would have to go.
No, but I mean, like, your Ortiz now, too. Like, he's such a lovable, you know, just figure, public figure. Everybody wants to hug him, love him. Like, now, yeah, his life has changed forever. He probably felt, I could go out anywhere. This is why I go home. This is why I want to be there. This is why I want to go back to my home.
Well, the thing is so shocking about it is that the guy, you just think, why would anybody want to hurt David Ortiz? Right? That's what just doesn't resonate and make sense to anybody, because everyone here loves David Ortiz. They think of David Ortiz for his personality and for not only what he was as a baseball player, but all the good that he does and all the good that he does in the Dominican Republic, which is why people look at it and say, why in the world would anybody want to hurt David Ortiz? That people can't make sense of that. They just can't figure that part of it out. And naturally, you want to know why. Why in the world would anybody want to do that? And so I have no idea. And I don't know that we'll ever get an answer. I don't know. But I can tell you this. If you've seen the video, if you can stomach the video, it's grainy as hell. It's not perfect. It's a cell phone video of a monitor inside the back room of the cafe, wherever it was. It's definitely not a robbery attempt. It was an attempt to end his life.
Yeah.
That's what that was. And so the guy who did it was either nervous or was a bad shot or, you know, was put up to it and didn't really want to go through with it or something.
And it'd be a lot easier to think about it being like a crazed fan, Mark David Chapman scenario.
Doesn't
if he was by himself.
Yeah.
You know, if you're gonna go assassinate somebody as a, you know, John Hinckley Jr., do you get a ride there? Do you have somebody help you out? It's generally something that happens.
It's like a low
yes.
budget hit.
He had no getaway plan.
None.
He's going to shoot and run.
I don't even know if he ran. He was taken right away.
He ain't running anywhere
well,
now.
Well, he turned to take off. There was no plan there.
See, the no getaway plan speaks to the crazy factor. That swings it back in the other direction. It's like, I don't even care what happens to me. Well, why are there two of them? Why are there two guys involved in this? Not just one.
There's more to it.
Not one lunatic. Couple of them? Equally crazy? Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's go do that. Doesn't sound right.
No, it doesn't sound right, which is why the crazy thing doesn't really
resonate.
Doesn't make a ton of sense.
No.
Somebody there wants, you know, David Ortiz hurt or worse.
Oh, he wanted worse.
Yeah. And
it wasn't stealing his chains or his sunglasses or his gold encrusted glasses.
And I'm telling you, just from watching it, it feels like this is the guy who was put up to doing it and either didn't want to do it or was nervous to do it or is really, truly a terrible shot and missed from 4 feet away. Because, I mean, he could have easily killed him. Easily.
Paralyzed him, anything. Hit him.
Yeah, it's a miracle that he didn't. It really is. 617-779-0985. So that is the latest on David Ortiz. If we learn any more today, as I think we probably will, we might get more and more reports, as I'm sure reporters will start landing in the DR today. Again, I know ESPN is sending their people there. I wouldn't be surprised if some news outlets are doing the same. So as that starts to happen, I'm sure we'll start getting more information.
It should. I mean, he has all the beat writers down to his golf thing every year.
Well, he pays for them.
I know
that.
I know that. But at least they should somewhat know the area and their whereabouts down there.
Maybe they should pay for their own flight this time and
get
the story.
And not get scooped by everybody else.
Yeah, do some reporting on it. The local guys.
Yeah.
Like the Globe.
Yeah.
Maybe they should send a reporter down.
Oh, they send six everywhere else. I mean, it's only David Ortiz.
All right, we'll get back to your calls on the Bruins going to a game
seven. Seriously, it's Brady and Ortiz, okay? And send somebody. Or maybe you could just Google it, sit at home. I don't know.
We'll get back to your calls. Bruins win last night, their win in St. Louis last night, and the obviously very terrible news on David Ortiz. We'll get to both of those things next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Well, you can clearly see there's a gap where the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh, yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the sports up.
The linesman gets everybody set. Bergeron wins it cleanly. Moore, back of the net, Achari. His backhand doesn't get out. High slot, fired by Dunn. Rask the save, rebound, Petrangelo. I thought that was in. The puck rebounds over to the near side. And it's rimmed out. The light never went on. No indication from the referee.
It looked like that initial shot that came from the right wing or from the left wing side on the backhand may have gone off the post and then off the back of Rask. Petrangelo took the initial shot. It went off the post, off of his back. And whether it was Rask or McAvoy, they were able to clear this puck.
Wow.
Talk about puck luck, Judd. We talked about it last game.
Six one seven 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 nine 0985 is the telephone number. Zolak and Bertrand here on this Monday, talking about both the Bruins win last night, which you heard right there, call from last night's game. Puck luck, puck luck. Tell you, Jordan Binnington watching a puck jump up and down and trickle past.
What was his issue last night too? Was skating by people, knocking into them. Like, was he going to intimidate people? Like, he was going out of his way to not go towards the bench, but let's go right down the middle ice and let's get chippy with people.
Between that nonsense and the stuff at the end of the game with Bertuzzo, what's wrong with this team?
They can't handle losing, I think, if that makes any sense.
So are they cracking, or
that they laid an egg last night?
Or are they just doing that because that's who they are and that's what they're going to continue to do?
It's kind of who they are. We've seen it.
And that's what they do when they win anyway. They're just a bunch of a-holes, and they just go out and they just do
we'll
that.
We'll rest. We got 2 days to get ready. We got two days to get ready. We already won two games up in Boston. We don't fear them. We're going to come up there, and we're going to try and outslug them again. That's what we're going to do. Yeah. And we're going to stick that Birmingham in net and cross our fingers.
Bettigans.
I love how people still don't get the joke. Yeah, on Twitter. We'll put it out.
But. And then, obviously, to go back to the call that we just heard, though, Charlie McAvoy, in the night that he had, tipping that puck out.
Yeah.
That could be the type of thing you go back. And let's not forget where you were in the game to go to my major point today about how tight this game was and how close this game was. How would that have changed that game if that puck goes into the net? How would that have changed the outcome of the night? How would that have changed the course of the game last night if that finds the back of the net?
The entire low level thought of
it. And you're tying the game. And now you've got a 1-1 game.
Yeah. How about Rask wherewithal, too, though? And I know, a little bit of puck. Yeah, it is puck luck, but Tuukka felt it on his back.
So?
You see him reach around, but.
Was he going to make the save?
No, but still. he made it. He may have. I mean, it could have still bounced in and off it, you know?
I think more importantly, he skated away from the goal line so that he wouldn't knock it back in. Do you know what I mean? He immediately went forward right. So that it wouldn't. So he had a chance to save it,
right?
Or somebody had a chance to save it.
But if that turns into a tie game at that point, and you just look at how the next couple of goals were scored, does it necessarily change that Brandon Carlo would be your next goal scorer after that, or Carson Coleman after that? I don't think so, because those are the guys who have been showing up when the other guys start squeezing the sticks a little bit and your elite goal scorers go away.
I don't know. It's impossible to know, Hardy. I'm just saying that it feels a lot different when the game gets tied.
Hey, It felt
the mentality of the whole night changes.
It felt
a
lot different.
Crap your pants a little because you're the eliminated team if you lose.
Let me tell you something. You're up 3-0. You feel good. 3-1. I didn't feel so good. Right?
Really? 3-1
at 3-0.
Done.
At 3-0.
At 3-0. I'm see you Wednesday night.
I was getting chirped on
you
Twitter.
You wouldn't believe the amount of crap I took.
Me too on Twitter.
I'm like you people.
You jinx, you a hole. 6 minutes left
down.
For a 3-0 lead.
Take it down. Take it down.
That's a screaming to take it down. Take the tweet down because that was going to make the difference. Deleting the tweet was going to ensure that the Bruins won the game.
At least you don't get to stick to football. Right. Stick to football, meathead.
Let me delete the tweet. That will make it. That will change the fortune.
Oh, no. You know what happens when you delete the tweet? They negate the goal because it went 3-1 right after we tweeted all our stuff. Like, see you Wednesday, St. Louis.
Yeah. And then when it was 4-1, I went. Hit it, Hardy.
Football meathead got
out
it.
Out came the saxophone.
Right.
Out came the saxophone.
What's that song? How's that song go again? It's out of my mind now. See? And then we get back.
Because you just started doing the Jurassic Park theme. That's what you were doing.
No, I was doing Kenny G.
Is that what you were doing?
Yeah. That's Kenny G.
That's
Jurassic
Songbird.
So I think that McAvoy play is, you know, one of the plays of the night, even though it wasn't a goal. I mean, holy smokes.
That's a big one for
that's
Charlie.
A huge one.
You could say that's his first marquee big time Bruins moment.
That's the one you put on the championship DVD.
There's a handful.
Okay,
there's a handful of plays that go on that thing.
Okay, you put that play on that is a championship DVD type of play. That is like, you know,
in terms of
that is David Krejci sliding across the crease the other night.
Michael Ryder.
And that ended up being in a game that the Bruins lost. So right. That one doesn't really make it onto the DVD.
It's the Tim Thomas paddle save.
It is Michael Ryder with the glove.
And Thomas. Yes.
It is Michael Ryder, you know, making a save in 2011. Yeah. Charlie McAvoy tipping the puck out to keep it a Bruins lead. That is a championship DVD type of
play. Really, the whole sequence. I mean, you got to give credit to Tuukka, too, for knowing that puck was back there and holding his arm back there. He didn't hold on to it, obviously, but he knew where it was. He could feel it. I mean, the whole sequence was amazing. I can't believe it stayed out of the net. I can't believe it.
All right. I promise we will get to your calls, and we've been giving you some statistics back and forth about different games that teams have won and what that means their odds are to win the series. There have been a number of teams that have won on the road to force a game 7 back in their home building in the NHL Stanley Cup final. We'll tell you how those teams have done, both overall, historically, and as of late, and what it means for the Bruins on Wednesday night. I think you're going to like their odds, Jim.
Yeah, Jim.
I think you're going to like their odds. I know that you're all caught up on game 4 being the all-important game 4, but I think you're going to like their chances. We'll tell you next.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
I don't think there are three words in sports that get more people excited about what is yet to come.
Zolak and Bertrand.
I think there's issues with testosterone.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
And up the near side. Now off of Schwartz. Char is going to knock it down. Schwartz kept it in. Then at the line, Marchand is there. Sundquist crashes for it. Boston shoots to the empty net from their own end. And a big Z. Zdeno Chara puts it in. 5-1 Boston.
Well, that'll do it here. It would have been an epic night. Could have been a party. And, you know, Curbs, you said it best in the pregame. Boston's here to spoil the party. And they spoiled it here tonight. The Boston Bruins were not going to go quietly into the night in this series. This was going to be the hardest game for the Blues to win. And this is probably the best I've seen the Boston Bruins look all series.
Tell you,
spoiler party.
Yeah. I was
was in a pregame, and I saw hammered Brett Hull. And Brett Hull's hammered, and he was going to party.
There's no party now.
We was going to party tonight. It's not going to happen now.
No, they're not going to party after the game.
And a big Z, Zdeno Chara puts it in, 5-1 Boston.
Where's the party?
He says something, but you can't understand what I'm saying.
Well, that'll do it here.
We'll do it. Yeah. We'll party. These are real party poopers.
Sonny,
that's what you said. They're going to be party poopers. They were. They pooped on that party.
Saw the St. Louis Dispatch post this morning. My kids are all fired up. And all right. Pam from the office on TV.
Here's the stat. The Bruins.
Pay for the deposit on the reservation on the top floor of that bar.
Yeah, that's not
they
a
went,
big
and, they
deal.
Went and reserved the top floor of the bar and everything.
You got to do that.
Party poopers.
The Bruins are the sixth team to win on the road to force a game 7 in the Stanley Cup final.
All right.
The team that did that won the cup in 4 of the previous 5 instances that happened.
Mm.
The last time the team won a game 6 to force a game 7 and lost was 1945. It's been a long time since someone
forced a game 6 on the road.
Forced a game 6
while that team was on the road and then came home to win game 7.
And then lost in game 7.
Gotcha.
That was the 1945 Red Wings. Since then, the 64 Maple Leafs won, the 2001 Avalanche won, and the 2004 Lightning also won. So, what do we put this at, Jim? 4 out of 5, 80% chance the Bruins win on Wednesday, right?
Yeah, it's not as good as the 100% chance if they had won game 4, but it's still good.
80%, pretty good.
Not bad, but momentum doesn't carry, right? I was told momentum doesn't carry.
It's not about momentum. It's about winning a game 6 and forcing a game 7. It's not about momentum.
No, I know, but even if the Blues did crack, that's not going to... Even if the Blues did crack the other night, that's not going to carry over into Wednesday. Right?
Well...
Everything applies. If it can't, there's no momentum from sim. Game to game, you got to treat it differently.
Kind of has gone that way.
Sure. Yeah.
We can sit here and go through all the numbers and percentages, and it ain't going to matter Wednesday night.
Just telling you the stats, 80%.
You need to get somebody suspended because they're 2-0 when somebody gets suspended.
Oh, that's another good point there. Now, do you go back and look at that hit? Do you go back and look at the hit?
Which hit?
Oh, God. I'll start with the Shen one, but I think Shen's was more acceptable from a hockey standpoint of a hockey play. Yeah, you're going in, players playing the puck. You go right in. I don't think he went up and at the head.
I don't think it's a suspendable hit.
Okay. So the Nordstrom one, you don't think is suspendable?
I don't think it rose to that level. If they go ahead and do it, I won't be upset based on the way this series
I think they were looking to hurt people at that point. I think they're looking to take people out. Like, that's what they do.
But I think they've been doing that all series.
Yeah, thug team. Third right, team.
Let's go to your calls. Team. Let's go to Blair in Maine. Haven't heard from him in a while. Blair.
Hey, had my events this past weekend. I did pretty good, you know. Just, I hung my head too much. The 50-meter in the state Maine Special Olympics, yep. You know, the biggest one in Maine.
Yes.
Over
did you get the medal?
The University of Maine.
Yeah.
Did you see I got a medal, though?
I know you got one last time. You were talking about it.
I didn't tell you guys. I didn't think since I got back, which was yesterday afternoon, I got back. I stayed up there. The dorms are beautiful. I mean... I mean, the dorms aren't bad. I mean, that's a heck of a place for me to go next year, compete again, and win.
You turn that frown upside down.
Story on the 50 meters, though. So the 50 meter, if I didn't get disqualified for changing lanes, almost running into the guy, I would have got third. That's a bronze medal.
So you're like that horse in a Kentucky Derby.
Like the Derby there.
You got to stay in your lane, Blair.
I am. Stay in my lane.
Stay in your lane.
What'd you think of the Bruins last night, Blair? What'd you think of the Bruins?
It's good. We're going to win it. We're going to win the Stanley Cup. But anyways, I want to just keep going on to my thing because my 100-meter, I got fourth. And my softball throw, I won it, baby. I got first. I got a gold medal, baby. A gold freaking medal.
Proud of you.
I'm proud of myself.
Proud of you, Blair.
Stop hanging my head on the 50-meter. And start being really proud of myself because a gold medal for me is huge. Next year, I'm planning on getting 3 medals. And 1 gold medal, doesn't matter because I'm going to get more medals next year.
That's right.
I wanted two this year. Didn't happen. Next year I'm going back, winning the 50-meter, winning the 100-meter somehow. I don't care. You're going to hear a good story next year. It's
going
to be great
next year. That's when the ladies come in after the three medals. Get them three golds. Blair won't be able to keep them off him. He likes the dorms up there, though. Flynn went to Maine, didn't he?
He did.
You Maine?
He's a Maine guy. David in Salem. Hey, David.
Hey, I'm calling on the hit on David Ortiz.
Mm-hmm.
It was not intended for him. Sitting across from him was a Dominican rapper by the name of Secreto, who the hit was intended for. It wasn't for David Ortiz.
Why didn't he shoot the other guy?
I don't know.
How do you know this?
How do you know this?
I'm a Latin DJ, and I'm close with the Dominican community.
What's his name again? And the rapper? Oh,
hold on. Let him answer.
The name of the artist is Secreto.
Okay. How do you know that it was intended to be a hit on him?
Because he has a track that he has beef with other artists. And so they had put out a hit on him. And David Ortiz just happened to be sitting across from him.
And how do you know they put out a hit on him?
Because it's a lot of talk in the music industry.
Okay. Right.
Okay.
I'll accept it. Okay. Hey, it's like Biggie Tupac.
Print it! I mean,
could be right.
More money, more problems.
But So one rapper was speaking ill of another rapper on a song, and the other rapper didn't like that.
Right.
Well, that's never happened before.
Well, it's like our rap battles here. Sports Hub.
It could be true, but
John in Lowell. Hi, John.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Good morning. I'm just calling in about Ortiz.
Sure.
Yep.
Hey, so I don't know what the last guy was talking about, but I've been speaking with some family down in the DR, and what I'm hearing is it was just a business deal gone sour for Ortiz. And it wasn't intended for, for the kill, but they wanted to send a message. So whatever investment Ortiz got into didn't work out for him, and that might have been the result of that. So that's the rumor I'm hearing.
Okay.
Chalk that up as rumor two.
Mario in Boston. Hey, Mario.
Hey, how's it going? So I'm just going to add in. What up, Joe?
What up?
Yeah. So what I'm calling about is Ortiz, right?
Yeah.
The one of the guys, which he's not wrong for that. He basically the guy that he was saying Secreto, the rapper and stuff. That's one of the stories that's going on there. You know, I'm associated with the guys over there, and I DJ for Ortiz and everybody before up there. So, and so those hospitals, they're horrible. Yesterday they were asking for B+ blood for him because they didn't even have it. That's how bad the stuff was for him. So what's happening over there is basically that one of them, they said that Secreto was supposed to be shot, but when Ortiz got shot, the bullet went through him, and it hit Jay Lopez that was with him too, which he's a huge radio personality over there in the Dominican Republic. So the bullet went through Ortiz.
I don't like that part.
And the bullet, if you look at the video, you could see it goes to the back,
yeah,
and you could see the mark in the front, and then Lopez was sitting next to him, and it hit him right in the leg. So it hit him right in the leg, so he's doing better. Lopez, but Ortiz was the one that, as you can see, right before everything happened,
yeah.
They threw a picture. There's a video, too. And Lopez, if you look at J. Lopez 01 at Instagram, you can see Ortiz was with him, and he wrote on his stuff, that we're street, so... It's a lot of stuff going on right now. And the second part of it...
Wait a minute. What did he write?
That we're street.
Oh, we're
you
street.
You know that we're street. We're
good.
Street.
Good.
You know, street. Like, anything happens...
Oh, we're street.
You know, we're street. Yeah. Yeah, so that right there was like a message, like, we're street. So the person that they're saying that shot him, basically they're saying was an ex-cop that shot him.
Yeah, I've seen that. I've actually seen the ID... The ID of that individual who was a police officer has been posted to Twitter. That person's ID has a picture of it has been posted. So that's out there now, too.
Get ready for everything.
There's layers to this story. CBS News.
like an onion.
Yeah, I'm telling you, this story is we're just starting.
The more it stinks.
CBS News just posted National Police spokesperson Frank Felix Duran told CBS News that Ortiz or Urban Seeger Secreto, who we just heard about, who was with him, may have been the target of the hit job. So police are saying that the rapper may have been the target of the hit job, that they are currently, quote, not ruling out any scenario. What we can rule out is that this wasn't a robbery. They're saying it was not a robbery, which is pretty obvious based on the tape. CBS News is now showing that tape. They are publicizing that tape. They're using that tape on their broadcast. So that tape has now gone mainstream. It was circulating on social media, no longer just a social media tape. That thing is on the CBS News. Also, according to CDN 37, which is some sort of
original, they've had most of these reports at the beginning.
It is a Dominican news network of some sort. I don't know if it's a TV station or if it's I don't know if it is a do we know if it's a TV station? I can't tell. I think it is, though. I'm pretty sure it is. I'm almost positive it is. But they are reporting that what we've speculated on, that it is it's possible.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.